If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you're missing out. Not only do they taste great, but Super Beet Soft Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beets Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than as a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you want. And if you love Super Beets Chews, you'll love their all-new, delicious vitamin D3 chews. Vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. Now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beets chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beets chews at danasbeets.com. That's danasbeets.com. danasbeets.com.
To show you how corrupt the Washington media is, I was just, and did you see this? This was just revealed. It was just revealed that, you know, Anonymous, you know, this Anonymous that everybody's been looking for, that law enforcement could have found early if they wanted to, but everybody was looking for Anonymous. Turned out to be a low-level staffer, a sleazebag, who's never worked in the White House. Anonymous was a nobody, a disgruntled employee who was quickly removed from his job a long time ago for, they tell me, incompetence. I don't know what for, but they tell me incompetence. You know where he works now? He works at CNN. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I do.
Works at CNN. He wrote a phony book. Was just basically, if you heard about Anonymous, was like somebody that was right next to me. I thought it might have been Hope Hicks. He's right. I thought it might have been Jared. I thought it might have been Mike Lee. I was worried, from the great state of Utah. I was extremely worried about Rand Paul. Maybe it was Rand. This is, I said, low-level, low-life, that I don't know. I have no idea who he is, other than I got to see him a little while ago on television. And I think they threw him out a long time ago.
Yeah, well, yeah, true. So this, welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. A lot of stuff to go over because it's almost election day. Welcome to the show. I'll let you know where you can find me here momentarily. So if you get the newsletter last night, there were a couple of things that I meshed together because I ended up taking one piece over to the website so it wouldn't be ridiculously long. But the piece that I had up there and that I also have over at the website as well. This happened, I was trying to remember what time this actually happened. It was after radio. It was in the evening. And all of a sudden, everybody starts talking about this dude that nobody's ever heard of, right? And his name is Miles Taylor. And he looks like Caillou. If Caillou grew up and got some hair, right? He has this whole Caillou thing about him. You guys remember that brat kid from Canada? Like, I'm just a kid. I can't stand that. My kids hated that show. That's like what you would put on to punish children, not to entertain them. Awful show. I've never really disliked anybody as much as I've disliked the imaginary character Caillou. And every parent I know agrees with me. Anyway, this guy reminds me of this Miles Taylor. So he tweets out this statement. All of this started with this editorial that ran back in 2018. And it was over at the New York Times. And the way that it was presented was like this was some high-level senior staffer who is really mad at the president. And you guys know that the media loves nothing more than to find someone who is willing to identify as a Republican and then also rail against all of the things that have been done that Republicans are supposed to support because Trump did it, right? And so it says, I am part of the resistance inside the Trump administration. And he wrote this, and the New York Times, that's how they packaged it, and that's how it was presented. And I think that he really loved it, too. He seems like a guy who loves having his back pat. So, the statement that he released yesterday, and he released this statement like, I don't know, with like fanfare. Nobody asked him. Literally no one on the internet was asking him this anymore. He did go on CNN like back in 2018 when he was talking to Anderson Cooper about all of this. I don't even know how he got on there. And And he was asked and he said, no, it wasn't me or something to that effect. I don't even really care, honestly. I just want to make fun of him because he released a statement like he was, you know, king, you know what, of Blank Mountain. And so he pumps out this statement yesterday. Donald Trump is a man without character. It's why I wrote a warning. And it's why me and my colleagues have spoken out against him in our own names for months. I don't know why he has this Wisconsin accent, but it's fun. It's time for everyone to step out of the shadows. My statement. No one cares. So this name was trending, and it's like, who are you? Who is even? I feel like Conor McGregor when he did that UFC presser. I can't even say it. But he's like, who the blank is this guy with his big old belt and all his, you know, his Gucci? So I've kind of glanced over the statement, but I wasn't interested in reading it. The only reason, and I'm going to be really clear about this with you. You guys know that I don't blow smoke up your bums, but the only reason that I'm interested in talking about this is because he's so easy to make fun of. And it is a bright spot in my day. I'm not even going to lie about it. Ridicule can also be a virtue, the ability to do it well. And I'm going to go with that. And also, it further shames the media. Have you noticed that out of all these stories that keep happening, what is the theme that's interlocking all of them? The media is involved somehow. They help play it up, or they help hide it, or they helped encourage it somehow. It's another story about the press not acting like the press. The New York Times was salivating. Oh my gosh, we got this guy's in the Trump administration. He's literally like the deputy of the deputy of the assistant deputy. He doesn't even like sharpen pencils. What does this guy do? And someone actually tried to correct me yesterday, which is one of the most dangerous things you can do, especially when I'm not wrong. He was like, well, you know, he served in government. I'm sorry. Let's shut the hell up right now. Served in government? You served in government? I hate that word, serving in government. You are suckling the public teat. That's what you're doing. This guy has never had a job in the private sector ever. So he and Bernie Sanders have something in common. There's one little caveat that I'll add to that. I'm getting to it. So this guy releases this statement. Everyone's like, who are you? The New York Times is the most upset about it because the New York Times was the one who was presenting him as being this guy look how important this guy is. He's anonymous. So he's probably like Mike Pence. Oh, man. I have like an article that's linked. Oh, my gosh. This is the best. I love being able to go back and just like touch the receipts. It's so amazing. So there was a million articles where they were all these people were speculating, who could it be? I mean, they literally, CNN made a list, literally made a list. Don McGahn, Dan Coats, Kellyanne Conway. Could it be her? She's someone who survived for a long time in the political game. Ooh, John Kelly. What about Kristen Nielsen, head of Department of Homeland Security? Oh, Jeff Sessions. Oh, my goodness. I mean, they could not stop. James Mattis. Here's the difference. Like, James Mattis, I don't dislike, although I disagree with him on Trump. And what he said about Obama in his book was 11,000 times harsher, but the media overlooked that. James Mattis was like, yeah, I'll say it to your face. This guy was like, oh, I can't. I'm just going to go hide. So he is in government for all of his life. He went from one government job to the other. And I hate when people present that like it's some sacrifice. It's not. Don't sit here and act like I'm going to drop to my knees and worship you because you work in the federal government. Whoop-de-doo-da. And don't use the term serve. Oh, I'm serving in the federal government. No, you're not. You're serving when you go overseas and you eat MREs in 116 degrees. That's you serving. You working in the government and showing up to a very secure job that you'll pretty much have unless you screw it up majorly. That's not service. It's a job and that we are paying you for. And it's one probably that's not even in Article 1, Section 8. So why are you there getting our money? Amen. That being said, so this guy... Oh, man. So he's a Democrat. He's a Democrat. And I called him a human grumpy cat is what I called him. Really, he's a lifelong government employee and he is a glorified latte fetcher. He is. He's a glorified latte fetcher. I'm probably being a little bit mean when I say that all he does is like fetch lattes. I'm pretty sure they let him change out the urinal cakes, too. So I need to be really honest about this and, you know, be generous. Right? So glorified latte fetcher and urinal cake changer.
There it is.
Okay. So he hid his name to mislead readers into thinking that his editorial was written by someone other than a dude who had zero access to Trump. And he wasn't even listed on Department of Homeland Security because he was apparently a deputy of a deputy of a deputy. He wasn't even listed anywhere on their senior leadership page in DHS when New York Times published his op-ed because he was just some policy guy. He wasn't even a chief of staff of anything. Oh, by the way, there are screenshots of all this, you know, because receipts. And the New York Times had answered a bunch of questions about why they decided to publish it. And they literally said upper echelons of an administration. He wasn't even upper. He was just a Democrat who was a who worked in government, and he ended up leaving to go and get a job on CNN to talk about government. So that's what his job is. That's what he did. So he left the job. So instead of working for the government, he can now talk about working for the government. So he parlayed somehow his office assistant career into a CNN contributorship. There you go. Human grumpy cat. Please, seriously, that would be epic if that was ever in his Chiron. All right, so that's one of the things that we're going to totally make fun of continuously throughout the show. Jobs. This is what Trump needs to talk about every syllable that comes out of his mouth publicly from now until Election Day. And this is the fastest, most explosive growth and measure of GDP. What, historically? Ever. Yeah. Ever.
I have audio of Scarborough this morning talking about it. It was almost little. It was hard for
him to admit. Oh, is he mad that people are making money and not dying from poverty? Oh, okay. Let's listen to
Scarborough. Yes, the economy is growing at 7.4%. The number looks great. It's a historic number. It comes on the heels of a lot of pain in the past and some pain to come. But still, bottom lining this, for the election that everybody's looking at 5 days from now, Donald Trump's going to be able to run around and saying, this last quarter, the economy grew at a record rate.
It did grow at a record rate. The fastest recovery ever on record. And it's continuing. This is how the press is spinning it. Well, we're not totally back from the pandemic lockdown yet. No joke, especially when you have these Marxist Democrats running a number of cities and states telling everyone, no, you have to stay home. You can't go get necessary supplies. You can't even have Thanksgiving together with your basic family members. Yeah, when you have those people out there pushing that BS, yeah, it's going to be a little bit tougher. No, even though there's no scientific data at all whatsoever to show that there's more cases contracted in bars than anywhere else, we're going to keep bars closed, Nashville. So, I mean, when you have that continuing, yes, it's going to be a struggle.
Imagine if we were all the way open.
Oh, yeah, it would be ridiculous. But no, despite their best efforts, how would anybody vote against this? Who is out there going, you know what? I would love to pay all of my earnings in taxes. I would love to just completely degrade our military and put our men and women in uniform in harm's way because we're just going to lawyer them up with all kinds of legal worries instead of focusing on fighting the enemy. How about that? Or I'm just going to also nationalize. I love the idea of nationalizing wearing face diapers. It's amazing. I love the government telling me what I should cover my face with. Maybe now it's a mask. Maybe tomorrow it's something else, like a black piece of cloth. Who knows? Just saying. I mean, if the government can make it, if you're going to say the government can do one thing, they're going to interpret that as they can do everything. So we have a lot to discuss still. We got I'm going to go into the job numbers more, and I'm going to make fun of the latte fetcher and urinal cake changer all throughout the show because I feel like a mean girl today. We're also going to talk about the Bidens and all kinds of stuff. Bernie Kerik, who's seen the hard drive, is going to be joining us all throughout the show. Later on throughout in the show in our third hour. So a lot to discuss. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you're missing out. Not only do they taste great, but Super Beet Soft Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet's Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than as a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you want. And if you love Super Beet's Chews, you'll love their all-new, delicious vitamin D3 chews. Vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humin's all-new Vitamin D3 Chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. Now, you can get a free bag of Vitamin D3 Chews and a free bag of Super Beats Chews when you buy two bags of Super Beats Chews at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, so, oh man, I have a lot of headlines that I want to read to you at once. So first up, this the president is going to nominate Senator Josh Hawley's general counsel to the FEC, Sean Cooksey of Missouri. He's going to be a member of the Federal Election Commission. I like the fact that he's coming from Hawley's, his cachet. So that's kind of interesting. In Texas, a woman is getting some criticism because of her Halloween decorations. Pole dancing lawn skeletons are deemed too risque for family-friendly block. In Richmond, Texas, Angela Nava created a skeleton strip club on her lawn. The venue is called The Candy Shop, and it features skeleton strippers, pole dancing in wigs, bony customers getting skeleton lap dances and offering tips, and even a skeletal bouncer wearing shades, a baseball hat with the word security emblazoned on the front. So she changes it up daily, and she plays music for about an hour around 8 p.m., she told ABC 13. She said, it's been a great creative outlet for me. But some people are upset with it. They said that they thought it was inappropriate, and it was offensive to the family-friendly neighborhood. Because, you know, dead people don't go to strip clubs, and that's unrealistic to teach children this, apparently. You know what? We're all in a lockdown. Get over it. Just get over it. My gosh. A police commissioner. I feel like people are going to be beating some bobbies this holidays in the UK. So in Britain, police will enter homes and break up Christmas dinners if families break lockdown rules. And the police commissioner goes, oh yeah, there's going to be riots. There's totally going to be riots. And he said the riots could be sparked by heavy-handed police. Christmas beatings. That's what it's going to be now. I have a ton more, including the terror attack. Multiple people stabbed in a knife attack at a church in Nice, France. And all over, Emmanuel Macron refusing to bend a knee. Wow. We'll talk about that coming up.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
But I don't see this suppression of high-profile liberal commentators. So, for example, have you ever censored a Democratic senator? How about President Obama? How about a Democratic presidential candidate? How about Planned Parenthood or NARAL? Or Emily's List.
Yeah, that's good point. He couldn't name one. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. By the way, here's where you can locate me.
Do you have the guts?
Get out of the dark and visit DanaLash.com at DLash on Twitter and Instagram.
Don't forget Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube.
Ah, yes. Also, stream the show there at official Dana Lash on Facebook and simulcast via the first, channel 244 on Pluto TV.
Yeah, so, the big tech, this continuing, and we have some more things to get into with this, but I think the big question that was circulating yesterday was, what's going to be the point? What is the end goal for this line of questioning from these lawmakers? And I think it's them establishing this foundation by which they have these conflicting statements and everything else that they can use as a way to substantiate the removal for these companies, the removal of those protections from Section 230, protections from liability. We have some very interesting things that Zuckerberg said here coming up. The latest with the Bidens. I'm trying to figure out what in the ever-loving world would these documents, so Tucker Carlson talked about this on his show last night, that these confidential documents that his show received from a source about the Bidens apparently went missing. And he said that they were sent from New York because he was in California getting ready to interview Bob Alinsky. And New York was, they were sending those documents to him in Los Angeles because that's where Bob Alinsky was. And at some point throughout their journey, the envelope made it there, but the documents didn't. It apparently had been opened and it was empty. And they said that they searched everything. Like they searched and they used UPS. They searched everything. The hub that was in New York where they sent it out, they searched there. They searched everywhere that the envelope stopped at. And those documents never... And well, actually, they got the word Tuesday morning that the package was open and the documents were missing. And they never got them. They were overnighting them to California. And he had said that out of all the times that they ever used them, they never had a problem. So it was dropped off in Manhattan. They tracked them all the way to 3:44 in the morning Wednesday. And that's when someone else noticed at this like sorting facility that in a totally other state noticed that, oh, this envelope doesn't have anything in it and it's open. And so they interviewed all the employees, everybody who was around the envelope, and they never found anything. And now UPS has confirmed it. They confirmed that this was, that the package, that this actually happened and that these things went missing. And the company told the Daily Beast that it was reported missing with contents as it moved within their network. And that... they were investigating, they're talking to employees, etc., and they were trying to track down the package, and they did not have, I don't know what was in there. I would think that you would make copies, though, right? Please, for the love of all things holy, tell me that. I'm sure they did. And by the way, otherwise, I would have to go to New York and beat somebody.
Yeah, me too. But why couldn't you have scanned these and emailed
them? Thank you.
Or, you know what I mean, like something digital?
I do get that there are some people, and I've worked with people like this, who if they want to send you something, they will literally hire a courier and hand deliver an envelope with documents in it. They will not send anything. I've worked with people. They will not send anything. It's all handled, a courier, paper, all of that. So I don't know. Maybe it was one of those things, but I would have to imagine that there were copies made somewhere.
Also, I don't trust any delivery system with my vote ballot.
No, I don't either. I don't trust anybody. I simply, this is how it is. So as far as what this does with the election, because we have job numbers, and I mentioned this earlier, I mean, this is record growth, 33.1% rate in quarter three. It was actually better than the estimated 32%. And this is one of the fastest growing, I mean, this is an explosive growth. It's historical. I mean, the economy has grown in spite of all of everything that's been happening. And that's incredibly important. It shows that everything that the administration is putting into effect to get the economy back on track after this lockdown, that it is having an effect. And it's, again, and I want to emphasize this, it's not just for one demographic. It is for all demographics. And on this track, we will get back to that record economic growth, not just for certain demographics, but for Black Americans, Hispanic Americans, all of this, as well as with wages and median income. So this is incredibly significant. This is what Trump honestly needs to focus on from now until the election. Let the surrogates handle the Hunter Biden story. I said that yesterday, and let me expand. It's not that the Hunter Biden story, it's not a question of whether or not it would move a needle. There's a saying in politics that when you're explaining, you're losing. And this is true. The longer it takes for you to explain a very complicated story, no matter how true it is, you actually end up losing instead of winning on it. This story happened too late in the political cycle. It's not that it's not going to move the needle because people don't care. It's impossible to move the needle on an election when you've had, what, 7-some-odd million people already vote? More than that. Way more than that. And it is so late in the election cycle. I don't know who was responsible for mapping out the timeline. And if Bannon was involved, then I would blame him because Bannon likes to act like he's like this master. Again, I've had the, unlike other people, I've actually known the man personally and worked with him. I've known him for over a decade. But he would be the guy who would wait too late to do this. So I don't know who it is. I'm just saying if he has involvement in it, it's that. This needed to come out earlier. It needed to come out earlier so you could, I mean, it needed to come out way earlier. Because it's too complex. Can you explain it in 30 seconds? That's the question. You have to be able to explain it and not only explain it, but have it understood in 30 seconds. It has to be, not even an elevator pitch, a political pitch, shorter than that. But yeah, you're right. And if you can't do it, then you got to focus. And I honestly think too, I understand that there is a need to say that all these people on the left were accusing Trump of being compromised. And it was really Joe Biden being compromised. I get it. But I don't think with it being released so late, that may not be our best play. And that's why the surrogates need to focus on Hunter Biden. And Trump needs to focus on the economy and how good he's done. Because that is one issue where Democrats will not ever touch him. That has been the one consistent issue in every poll out there, every single measurement, everything. Left entities, right entities, all of them. They all agree with the results of their surveys in that these issues relating to the economy are best left in Trump's hands. That is where he's strongest. Now, Joe Biden likes to think that he is strongest on hammering Trump with the coronavirus. And I'll tell you this. As it relates to the polling, there's some things that we need to be concerned about. There's two things I'm not going to do to you. I'm not going to be like the left and I'm not going to get into hyperbole and the sky is falling, etc. But I'm also not going to be one of those people in media that is going to blow smoke up your butt and tell you that things are rosier than they are. I'm not going to do that. And I was thinking about this, and I actually was talking to my husband about this last night. We went out to dinner for our anniversary, and I said, I think, honestly, if the coronavirus response hurts Trump, I honestly think it's going to be because people will think that he was not heavy-handed enough by lockdowns and things of that nature. And that is more terrifying, I think, than anything else. Because that would mean that there is a significant number of people who actually think that the federal government should have the authority to force you to stay in your home or to force your business to shut down. For all of their discussion over the past couple of years and their new interest in federalism, the left has shown that that was nothing more than not even a flirtation. It wasn't even that serious. It wasn't even that genuine. It was just a tactic. So, in looking at some of the polls, that's what I can. If there is any kind of if Biden does succeed in hurting Trump with coronavirus response, it will be because people think that Trump was not big government, heavy handed, forcing people to stay at home enough. Honestly, that's what it'll be. I swear to you. That's what Trump needs to. And Trump's best way to push back on the coronavirus is to look at the not just the number of cases. It's so idiotic to me that there are people out there that are saying, oh, my gosh, look at the number of cases that we have. Yeah, because we are testing everybody. You were bitching just a little bit ago about not testing everyone, and then we test everyone, and of course the cases are going to increase, but the thing that isn't increasing are fatalities and the severity of cases. They will not tell you those numbers because they want to make you terrified into thinking that contracting is fatal. So Trump's best response to this is to point out the low fatality, the low cases, the fewer cases of serious severity, and also hit the economic growth. Hit very hard all of the growth from this third quarter. That's where he's going to be the strongest in defending this. He needs to focus on that everywhere he goes and stay away from the Hunter Biden stuff. Just because I think the Hunter Biden stuff, that you had the Senate, Democrats and Republicans, that were confirming the authenticity of the materials delivered to them. So this is not up for dispute anymore. The question is, do people who got mad at Donald Trump and think that he was somehow compromised by Russians, which as the Senate, as the DOJ and FBI and Comey and everyone else's investigation proved, despite their best efforts to fabricate stuff, they proved that it didn't exist. Are they now going to say that this none of this matters when there's more evidence and actual receipts and people, very good, credible people on record, that now it doesn't matter because it's Joe Biden? This was never about fear of Russian collusion. It was never about any of that. This has been a Democrat tantrum since 2016 because they didn't win an election. And Trump needs to focus on his economic, on his results. The polling, I don't trust because I think that there's some crappy polls out there. And I think this has made it to where you can't trust any of the polling averages. So this is why, because I've had a couple of you email, why haven't you talked about, you know, polling data and some of the numbers in the past few days? Because I think they're garbage. I think that there are some polls that are so awful that it throws the average off for everything. And polling averages, like what you would get at RCP, that's what you look at. And I think that's even, I mean, I don't, regardless of what happens, there's going to be a discussion of either reforming this industry, the survey industry, or getting rid of it entirely. We're going to talk more about that because I've looked at enough of them where they're just bad polls. They're bad samples. They're weighted one way or another. They're bad. They're really bad. And so we're going to get into all of that here coming up. But that's why I haven't gone and given specific numbers and specific surveys, because I think they're garbage and I don't feel like sharing that. I don't feel like sharing garbage with you. We do better than that here.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. DanaLash.com. Subscribe to the newsletter for sure. I was looking at this story and I thought, it me. Buying too much online? A firm says that impulse buying has never been higher, ever. They said that they were looking at Reston, a Virginia-based digital tracking and audience measurement company. And they released a report on the state of online retail. And I had another headline, I'm going to pull this up, where it's like, what is it, like 60% of Christmas or holiday, Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever, shopping this year is going to be 60% of everybody in the country is going to be done online. Dang. Holiday, all the days, all the shopping, 60% is going to be done online. What? Oh my gosh. God love our truckers. Oh man, we need to be praying for them, y'all, because, ooh, which also, I mean, like, I think that is all expanding too. The shipping, and I keep thinking, might be time to get into that, because that's one thing that is always going to remain consistent, is you are always, always, always going to have that need. Just saying. But so this whole, they looked at, they said online grocery spending has skyrocketed. Mobile spending on groceries alone, this is just groceries, $13.1 billion in the second quarter. Safeway owner Albertsons, they said that online grocery sales in their third quarter were up 246%. Wow. And here's the thing. When people are buying online as opposed to in person, they're actually buying more than they are when they're in person. I wonder why that is.
I have a Yeah? I have a theory.
What's your theory?
Well, because whenever I order online from the grocery store, you know what I end up getting? Like 12 cases of water. And it's not, it's only because I don't want to carry 12 cases of water from the store to my car and from the car to my house. I would rather have it delivered. And I think that's what people are doing.
Nuh-uh.
I'm just guessing.
They said that consumer behavior has been so changed, so modified by the pandemic. They said that people who normally, and I'm reading from the article, who had never ordered online before ordinarily, now they are ordering everything online. I'm not going to lie. You know what I got? I got a yarn winder. Yeah. Oh, it's insane. Oh my gosh. So everybody's getting something knitted or crocheted this year because it's my one relaxing thing to do a day. So I tell all my friends and family, just look at each item as a life saved, right? That's how you look at it. We got a lot more coming up. Stick with us.
It's the Dana Show.
Matters most, certainly to me. You lied to us, Miles. You were asked in August if you were anonymous here on CNN with Anderson Cooper, and you said no. Now, why should CNN keep you on the payroll after lying like that?
Oh, so that was the other Cuomo, Chris Cuomo, asking that glorified latte fetcher, what the guy who came out like as anonymous, what he was, because he lied to Anderson Cooper about writing that whole thing. Welcome to the show, by the way. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. I'll tell you where you can find me here momentarily. I just like making fun of the story. It was a big nothing burger, although not entirely, because the big story that came out of this was how badly the media wanted this guy to be in the upper echelons of the administration, which is literally how the New York Times presented it, quote verbatim. And he ended up being the deputy of a deputy of a deputy. The time that he wrote that article, that editorial anonymously in the New York Times. And then this guy, Miles Taylor, who is the grown up version of Caillou, and he's never worked a day in the private sector, except when he left his job in the federal government to go on television with CNN to talk about the federal government. Huh. Hmm. He's a human grumpy cat. He is like Bernie. He's a young Bernie Sanders. This is how it starts. He grew up on the and his professional career has always been on the public teat, and then he goes and works for CNN. There you go. And he got mad for I don't know what. He's always been a Democrat. There are receipts on that already, and I included all of that if you get the newsletter, if you subscribe to my newsletter. So I was being really nice yesterday. Listen to how nice I was. I said, Miles Taylor, previously a lifelong government employee, was a glorified latte fetcher who hid his name to mislead readers into thinking that his editorial was written by someone other than a dude who had little to no access to Trump. Okay, I'm being mean when I say all he did was fetch lattes. They probably let him change out the urinal cakes, too. It's true. But they ran this guy's editorial like he was some senior advisor. And he wasn't. And somehow he parlayed his office assistant job into a CNN contributorship. Okay, well, good for you. Good for you. So, that the biggest story out of that, again, is media behavior. Consistently. Media behavior. Over and over. A few things that I want to make sure that we get in on. So, the terror attacks that have been happening in France, this was all, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday, and we also discussed the teacher who had been beheaded, and this was in northern France because he, on a lesson about free speech, had actually showed a cartoon of Muhammad in the classroom, and one of the kid's parents got mad, and then he ended up being beheaded. So in two other terror attacks hit France in the past 24 hours. The first was at the Notre Dame Basilica in Nice, and the second was in Avignon, and a Tunisian migrant, 21-year-old Brahim Assouawi, beheaded an elderly parishioner and a male church warden, and then he fatally stabbed a third woman. And then 2 hours later, a guy with a gun screaming Allahu Akbar was shot and killed by cops in Avignon. So then there was a guard at the French consulate in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. He was stabbed and wounded by a knife man. Two other men were arrested. There was another guy who was arrested in Lyon. There was another guy who was arrested elsewhere in France. And this is because Emmanuel Macron defended, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I will give credit where due, free speech. He defended free speech when in discussing the cartoons. He traveled to Nice And he said it was clear that France is under attack because of our values of freedom and our desire not to give in to terror. He says, I say it with lots of clarity again today. We will not give any ground. Hmm. Wow. For the first time ever, I'm impressed with Emmanuel Macron. For the first time ever. But he also said that he threw his weight behind the church. He said the entire nation will stand so that religion can continue to be exercised freely in the country. He called for unity, urging people to not give in to the spirit of division. And this was after there was another attack in northern France when they beheaded the teacher, and then there was a situation in Paris as well. So this is what people are mad because some teacher in northern France showed a picture of Muhammad. Are we really gonna have this conversation again? Good for him though for not bending a knee.
I have some Emmanuel Macron audio if you want to.
Well, is it in French? Because he okay, but why? Do art does art? Yeah, no, it's all right. No, we don't need. No, our audience doesn't speak French. No, they're going to be like, the hell?
Don't underestimate our audience.
This is America, Kane. We speak American. Okay. I speak horrible Canadian French.
Yeah, me too.
I took like all these years in France and or of French in high school and college. And then turns out it was like Canadian French, at least. Oh. A Parisian couple that we met one time and had dinner with, that's what they informed me when I was speaking with them. And people can be very particular about their Parisian accents. I just want to put that out there because, oh my gosh. Anyway, so good for him for standing for refusing to bend a knee there. And so in the, just to recap, because there was a woman decapitated, two more killed, several injured in Nice. Attacks took place near the Notre Dame church there. There was another in Avignon. Others have been arrested elsewhere. So a lot of stuff happening. And I hope that they don't wear him down and he feels like he has to, you know, say something to that, you know, to that effect. I really hope not. So also the latest with the coronavirus, they are literally clowns, literally. In Oregon, a health official announced the coronavirus death toll dressed as a clown, not even making this up. Unbelievable. Claire Poche or Poche or Poochie. I don't know. Whichever one.
Right.
Wasn't there a dog back in the 80s called Poochie or something? I remember like as a kid having this like, it was like a Cocker Spaniel and you combed her ears.
I guess.
Does anybody remember this or am I making this up in my head? Let me Google. I'm more interested in
a common name for a dog like Pooch.
My 80s.
That's my Pooch.
I can't. No. But it was like a girl dog and she was like pink or something. I said, oh my gosh, yes, I am right. I'm like, please do not let me be making this up. I remember just, I was like having it. It was like a pink dog. Yes, I am not crazy. Oh, it was, I'm totally spelling its name wrong, which is why. Yeah, so it was called Poochie and it was from like the 80s. I remember being little bitty and having this thing. I remember, I don't know why that made me remember it. Anyway, this woman's name in Oregon, I can't believe we came here. She dressed up as a clown. Literally in a polka dot shirt, bright yellow pants, and a total clown face. She could, if people find it, if she's getting too much heat, she could just say that she's a juggalo.
True, that's true.
Isn't, by the way, isn't a clown just a juggalo? Or isn't a juggalo just a clown?
Juggalo's a lifestyle.
Or is it edgier because like there's fighting and beer involved? I don't know.
Yeah, you could be right. I think it's more lifestyle than just costume.
How is a juggalo a lifestyle?
I don't know. I'm not one, but I would assume that there's a different lifestyle involved there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What would that even entail?
I don't know. More makeup exchange? I have no idea.
Sidebar.
What it would be.
Hallmark movies. A Juggalo Christmas.
It's a brilliant idea.
Brilliant. I would watch brilliant. That, actually. I would watch that. So, in an alleyway behind a popular dive bar. Oh, so, I see this. So, this lady, she... What in the world would make someone think they are clowns? I don't know why they thought it is Oregon. But so I said last night that these people need to lay off. Fauci said that the small gatherings are driving new coronavirus outbreaks, and he's very worried about Thanksgiving, guys. He says you don't want to be the Grinch that stole the holidays. You need to consider the risks of gathering. We're going into a precarious situation. Cold weather is forcing people indoors. You know, cases are going up. Yeah, because there are more, we have more testing, etc. I just, so this was taking 15 days to flatten the curve, and now you want us to not even see our families? I would tell you where you can take that, that perspective and put it, but I would get immediately pulled off air. I'm screaming it in my head, though. You hear it?
I do. Mm-hmm.
He says it doesn't mean that people should call off Thanksgiving. And so I think people just take it. If you're scared, then don't gather for Thanksgiving. If you're not, then gather for Thanksgiving. But don't be telling people what to do or not to do like Gavin Newsom for Thanksgiving. It's a mostly peaceful protest with turkey. This is what it is. What state? Was it a number of states that had the rules? Let me look at this. Wasn't there a number of states that had, because I know California has weird guidelines. And CBS in Los Angeles said that Gavin Newsom's Thanksgiving gathering guidelines, people said that they went too far. The state told people to gather with no more than three households present. Thanksgiving dinner must be held outside. This is communism. The recommendations, they say, are right on the money. Outdoor gatherings are 20 to 30 times safer indoors. But what was the, and I'm going to pull this up. They were saying that if you have, like what, in the UK, they were limiting 30 people to attend a funeral and then like only 10 people indoors. Like how arbitrary is that? This is not science. None of this is science.
Do they specify whether the people have to be healthy or not?
No.
That's great news then.
Yeah, they say if you gather indoors, keep windows open while using fans for ventilation, wear masks. No. So my husband's parents have not seen their grandkids in a year. My mother has seen them once in a year. They have not seen their grandparents in a year. You can go right straight to hell if you think that we are not going to gather for Thanksgiving and Christmas. You get one life. My kids have two sets of grandparents. You only have so long with people. No, we're not doing this stuff. If somebody's worried about their health being compromised, then stay home. But quit ruining everyone else's lives just because you have a horrible top-down management of this. Lockdowns are not a way to control it. Even the CDC is going against this now. What are they going to do to people in California if they think that you're having, if you're having your Thanksgiving dinner and that you have too many people? Are they going to try to bust it open? Because I guarantee you that's how you get more riots. I guarantee you. So there were a number of states that are ordering new restrictions because you're having an increase in the cases. I'm more interested in the increase in fatalities and severity. I'm not really looking at the number of cases. But we're going to have this fear-mongering until November 3rd. We'll have the fear-mongering until Democrats get what they want, which is power. I'm getting really, we've lost a year. This went from 15 days, guys, to a whole year. I had someone who had actually messaged me on Facebook. And I never check messages on Facebook ever. I just never do because I don't download Messenger. And this individual said they didn't want to write it publicly. They were still trying to figure it out. Apparently their family's very divided, but it was a year since her children had seen their grandparents, her husband's parents, and they apparently lost one of her husband's parents. And she and her husband is like really seriously dealing with a lot of guilt and remorse because they went like basically a year almost with this lockdown and they didn't get that time to see the grandparents. And I just keep wondering how many other instances are there like this. I don't know. This November, we must take a stand. Now is the time to stand for what you believe in, for what makes America great, and for truth and freedom. With Patriot Mobile, you can take that stand with America's only Christian conservative wireless company. From now until November 7th, switch to Patriot Mobile with their Stand Up for Freedom promotion. Get a free Samsung A11 phone with 2-year commitment, free premier activation, and a free gift. Patriot Mobile takes a stand with a portion of every dollar going to support organizations that simply support the Constitution and your values. At 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for a free Samsung A11 phone, free premier activation, and a free gift. Or get a free month of service and $45 off any phone in stock. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972-PATRIOT. Stand up for freedom now with Patriot Mobile. That's 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile, our plans, your freedom.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So, I know nothing about golf, but I know that Jack Nicklaus is a golfer, a very famous one. Everyone's like, oh, Dana, you're killing us. So, he says that he already voted for Trump. He backed him in 2016, 18-time major champion. He's designed courses for Trump forever. And he said that he voted for Trump. So, last night on Twitter, Arnold Palmer started trending because people were mad at Jack Nicklaus, and then everyone started talking about lemonade and iced tea. I don't know. People just get over it. People are going to just heaven on earth. Good heavens. Parents are creating what they call mom code. Listen to this. To avoid testing their children for coronavirus so schools can stay open in Utah. Parents in Davis County, there's apparently a mom code. The goal is to keep schools open and extracurricular activities going. And health officials are like, skipping testing could spread it. So the concept, parents are mad because kids are losing a year of their lives. So parents are saying, yeah, we're not going to test. So we're not going to shut anything down. That's just how. Look, when you manage things stupidly because you want a top-down approach, people are going to not. They make these decisions. They just are. So NASA revealed tiny pockets of ice on the lunar surface. So technically, there is water on the moon. And it said that it could provide oxygen and hydration and rocket fuel to support a human colony. They estimate that up to 40,000 square kilometers of water is hidden in cold traps and craters. So they think that it's likely ice trapped in glass existing on the lunar surface. So it's not like you can just go there and scoop it up out of the moon dust or whatever the hell. I'm just, you know, just saying. Let's see. Chelsea Handler is a total Karen. She was bragging about, we have audio of this. She was bragging about running around and apparently like hitting people who were conservatives. Yeah, listen to this.
18. Oh my God. I would walk in some of the airports. I would go to the first class lounge, check in, then run over to the Fox News section and start assaulting people. Like I would go in and be like, you're a racist. And then I'd run out and then I'd run back in and go, do you want your daughter to have rights? Because she won't. And then I'd run out. Then I'd run back into the Fox News section.
What a one-person parent.
I went over to the first class lounge.
Good grief. Stay with us. We have a lot more in store. Polls, tech, culture war.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy the Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the first time in history, the citizens of this country get to hear directly and instantly from their president every single day through social media. I do not always agree with the way he says things, but it is important to him that he speaks directly to the people he serves.
So the First Lady FLOTUS she's like, I may not always agree with what he... I don't really care about how he tweets things or what he tweets. I really don't. I know that that's like a big thing for people, and that's been something that's been discussed like Six Ways to Sunday by some of the folks who I guess would classify themselves as being not ever Trump, but I don't know. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, and danalash.com, where you can subscribe to the newsletter. And make sure that you check that out. No, I don't think that the issue of his tweets is going to be a big deal. People keep talking about tone. And this is what, give me a minute here because I'm pulling up a couple of things. So Joe Biden, this came out on Huffington Post. They were trying to discuss what is the big difference. What's the, you know, everybody has read about Trump's coronavirus response. Jonathan Cohn had tweeted this. He's the reporter at Huffington Post. He goes, everybody's read about Trump's coronavirus response and where it went wrong. Really, though? But what if Biden what would Biden do if he wins? And he goes, here's Jeff Young, who is another guy at HuffPo, who answers this. And literally, the only thing that's different is that he talks about tone. It says putting science first, and he talks about a different rhetorical approach. Just let me give you one example. Biden would employ a different rhetorical approach, but he'd also vowed to make significant substantive changes in the federal response to the spread of the COVID. Americans would hear less from the White House and the president's political appointees and more from the scientists and the physicians and officials at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Food and Drug Administration and other key health agencies. The CDC would hold daily briefings on the status of the outbreak and the government's response. That's what Trump did. I love this. He would do things that are substantively different, like change the rhetoric.
I'm sure that change of language would have crushed the virus.
Yeah, the coronavirus, don't you know? That's how you kill it.
With rhetoric?
Yeah. When you change the tone, it goes, oh, no, I guess I shouldn't go infect that person. That's what happens. Did you know that?
I didn't.
So I'm fascinated. So
literally everything
by this.
In that list is what Trump did, except they would change the rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I like this. Listen, I mean, he will not stop plagiarizing. He's even plagiarizing Trump right now by following him to Florida. I'm gonna give you this article because I added this later. This is like one of the paragraphs because they were asking, okay, so like specifically what would you do? And Biden goes, I'll immediately put in place a national strategy that will position our country to finally get ahead of this virus. I'll reach out to every governor in every state, red and blue, as well as the mayors and local, I don't know why he sounds like this in my head, local officials during the transition to find out what support they need.
So what Trump did.
So literally what Trump did. He would employ a different rhetorical approach, but he said he'd make substantive changes. That's my favorite paragraph. It's like in the middle of the piece. He'd use different rhetoric, but he would also do substantive change, like also using different rhetoric. I think Biden wrote this.
Oh my God.
He goes, they write, under Biden's plan, the federal government would take a more hands-on approach to increasing the supplies of vital materials like tests and protective equipment. And he would also invoke the Defense Production Act to ask companies to manufacture more supplies. Oh, hell, who did this? Where have I heard this before? This is the equivalent. Let me give you, if you're still trying to figure out what I'm getting at here, let me do it like this. I have, Kane, I don't know if I told you, but I have an amazing movie idea.
Oh.
Totally original.
I gotta hear it.
Yeah. So it's about a group of guys, and some of them are like university researchers, and they have like, some of them have degrees in paranormal and psychic research and stuff.
Oh, I like it.
And they end up buying this old abandoned firehouse in like Manhattan, and moving into it, and they go out and they fight ghosts with these like jetpacks, right?
Nice.
And they shoot lasers at the ghosts, and they drive around this like white hearse that has a ghost in the middle of a red circle with a line in it. Totally original.
Huh.
My idea.
Wow, because it sounds a little familiar from where I'm sitting.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, just a smidge.
Huh. To like what? Where have you heard it before? Totally original.
It sounds like you think it's original, but yeah. It sounds a lot like the Ghostbusters.
No. And scene. There you go. Kane and I just illustrated how that's basically Joe Biden copying Trump.
You know what's funny in this article too? The one sentence that I think stood out to me, but it looks buried in this article. This sentence says, that's not to say a Biden administration would be guaranteed to beat the coronavirus, at least not right away.
Yeah.
Like, thanks for a nothing article.
I mean, this, the whole Biden plan is, he goes, I would do everything that Trump did, but I'd rhetoric different. That's, there you go. Just. Yay. Oh, and then he said, yeah, that major challenges ahead. That's not to say a Biden administration will be guaranteed to beat it, at least not right away. Yeah, then what the hell? I mean, it's all this stuff. I mean, this is literally what this one guy who is some director of some stupid thing I don't even care to identify. This guy, his name's Georges Benjamin or Jorge Benjamin. And he says, the current administration has done a lot of stuff, but it has been kind of haphazard, and in many ways it has not been based on a strategic plan, and it has not leveraged all the people who could help them do what they do, he said, without saying anything. Well, they've done a lot of stuff, but they didn't do some other stuff. Joe Biden's going to do stuff, but he's going to talk about the stuff differently than how Donald Trump talks about the stuff. And you know that when you talk about stuff differently, talking about stuff differently done kills the Rona. Science.
Also, there's no guarantee Biden would have stopped it.
He would go out and confuse the hell out of it. That's what he would do. He would kill it with confusion. It would stop and try to figure out what the hell he was saying to the point where it died. I don't know. You can't make this up. You really can't. And I'm reading all of these little think tank sycophants who are just, it is insane. Tell me if you've heard of this one before. Schools and businesses would have national guidelines as a reference and help them safely remain open or reopen. Huh. So. Yeah. I will say that I can notice a little bit more of a difference other than Biden going, I'm going to talk about it different. So one of these plans is all about dictating to all the other states from Washington, D.C., whereas Trump is like, I think the states need to come to the best determination. They honestly, these are people who kept going on about federalism. We love federalism now. And then the moment it doesn't suit them, they're calling for a top-down strategy. Let me ask you this. For those of you out in, say, like, you know, more rural or suburban Pennsylvania, say y'all got, you know, say that you get things to where it's almost not even detectable anymore in terms of testing and case severity, etc. So, and New York, say New York has a huge breakout again, which they kind of are. What Joe Biden is advocating is all of the decisions made about how to respond to the coronavirus would be based on the average of the nation as opposed to state by state areas. So you might be forced into lockdown and your economy ruined, even though, say, you wouldn't have any cases at all because another state, maybe not even near you, would have a complete breakout. That's literally what he's advocating here for the people smart enough to see it. How is that in any way science-based or helpful? I want to be boss of all the stuff. Trump just likes to talk about stuff. I want to be the boss of the stuff. It is. I can't believe somebody wrote this and filed it and thought this was an actual good piece. If I was the editor over there, I would be like, not only are you fired, but I will follow you wherever you go and ridicule you to every boss that you have from here on out because you are so stupid. Even though we don't pin red letters to people for stupidity, and we ought to, I will take that upon myself and do it for you. I just would have to have that response. This is one of the dumbest articles. How are you writing this article and think, not one point does this guy go, so the only thing he's going to change is to boss it around from DC and the way he talks about it? Not at any point does he stop and go, when he says that we should invoke the Defense Production Act. Where have I heard that before?
When Trump did it?
Yeah.
And by the way, Trump wasn't wielding it like a dictator. He was like, hey, you know what? You can voluntarily.
They're mad
this.
At him because he's not a tyrant.
Right.
So if the coronavirus, going back to what I said in the first hour, if Joe Biden's coronavirus attack hurts Trump, it's because people will think that Trump was not enough of a tyrant. That should scare the hell out of you, even more so than a Biden presidency. That means there's enough people in the country that believe in communism, or at least can't articulate it because they don't recognize that that's what they're advocating for, which is a failure of our educational system, that they would be mad because Trump wasn't enough of a tyrant. Not even joking you. This is insane. We got a lot to get into. A lot. Still, I still want to make fun of this article. This is one of the, I'm going to write about this. I'm going to write. So you're going to get a newsletter. I'm not done with it. And I'm pretty sure that you don't want me to make fun of it here for the next hour, although I could. But we have other, this is so stupid. I mean, I'm looking at this and they're like, well, you know, we would order this and we'd do this. This is all stuff he did. And not at any point does this like brain trust stop and go, huh, has this ever been done before? Has Trump ever done this? It sounds familiar. Jeez, God help us all. I swear to you, I'm just, y'all. All right, we gotta get moving. I'm trying to pull myself away from this. I don't know if you can tell, but I really don't. I just want to make fun of it for forever and ever. It amazes me. Absolutely amazes me. Coming up, we got Florida Man. We're also going to speak with Bernard Carrick because he's going to be on to discuss. He has a copy.
Clone copy of the hard
drive. A cloned copy of the hard drive. So he's seen everything that is on that Hunter Biden hard drive.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is one of my favorite stories ever, and it comes by way of my friend Lawrence Jones, who sent it to me yesterday. I really feel like these people need to get an award. It's Orlando Sentinel. A man's Halloween decor is so gruesome, people keep calling the cops on him. Now, this guy is in, so.
Dang, look at that.
Yeah, look at this. Look at the Halloween decorations. Whoa. That's amazing. If you can see them on the simulcast.
That
so let me describe them to you
real.
On there. You got the guy's house, and then he has three people that they look like bank robbers. And there's all this fake blood on the sidewalk and all of this. This guy keeps this display up. The whole scene is soaked with gallons of red blood right there on in his front yard. And there's like a safe that's dropped on one of the dummy's heads. There's three dummies. One of them's like stabbed in the back. One of them has a safe dropped on his head. I mean, another one's hanging on top of the house. And apparently his neighbors told him cop cars are in front of his house a lot during the day. And he said that they're required to reply to complaints. So apparently people were constantly complaining about it. It looks so great, though. I had an idea to put baby heads and dress them up like zombies and like put them on my fence like pikes. And Chris was like, no, let's not do that, Dana. A naked Florida man, CBS 12, was arrested from rescued from a bridge. He got rescued from a bridge. The Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office said that a deputy spotted a naked man, or as we would say in Southern Missouri, naked, N-E-K-K-I-D, walking across the Shalimar Bridge early Monday morning. He ignored the deputy's commands to stop. He's a 52-year-old man from Fort Walton Beach. He climbed over the edge of the rail, dropped down to one of the concrete barriers there, pilings there. And so they sent out, I love the name of this town, Niceville.
Nice.
Niceville sent out their super nice fire department, marine unit, to help out with the rescue. But the guy later told deputies that he had no recollection of what happened, and he has no idea how he ended up walking across the bridge naked.
It's probably Ambien.
Ambien? Ambien does that?
Oh, yeah.
Ambien will make you walk across a bridge naked.
It'll make you do a lot of things without your knowledge. Yes, that's what I hear.
Well, I mean, I don't take stuff like that, but I never heard that before. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Y'all are going to send me stuff.
Remember the Roseanne story back in the day? She was on Ambien.
No.
Yeah.
What do you mean back in the day?
Like 2 years ago.
Ambien made her put the cookies in the oven and do all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. All the weird stuff.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, there was a Florida man who was also mauled by a leopard because he paid $150 for a full contact experience. Not even kidding. I'm going to share that story with you tomorrow. Stick with us. Bernard Carrick, he's got a copy of that Hunter Biden laptop hard drive. He's seen it. He'll tell us about it coming up.
Bill O'Reilly here. The presidential election just weeks away. As you know, more than ever, folks need real analysis and honest facts, not speculation and partisan reporting. The traditional news and cable networks feed you biased coverage and skewed analysis 24 hours a day. The pundits parade around trying to score cheap shots, and the big media companies silence anyone who disagrees with them. Do you want Facebook or Twitter deciding what you see and hear? All that stops now with me, Bill O'Reilly, and my free podcast. Don't waste another minute of your time on the dishonest networks peddling fake news. Now you can listen to the O'Reilly Update and excerpts from my nightly no-spin news free. Search Bill O'Reilly wherever you listen to podcasts and be sure to subscribe. Like you, I'm tired of the dishonest media. It's corrupt. Search Bill O'Reilly wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe now.
But the easiest thing for him to do is to stand up like a man and accept the results of an election of the American people. For him to make these kinds of statements shows his lack of patriotism, his undermining of our elections, while he allows foreign countries like his friend Putin to undermine the integrity of our election.
That's Nancy Pelosi. You know, by the way, Vladimir Putin defended Joe Biden.
Yeah.
He said, no, it wasn't us. We didn't do that. So just exactly what he said. Just like that. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. And I'll tell you at the end of the segment where you can find me all online. Subscribe to the newsletter. I wanted to play this soundbite too, because as we roll into this, I was thinking back, and I'm going to link this, my piece on this from March 4th in the newsletter. Do you remember Super Tuesday and how Biden was going into Super Tuesday barely in the primary anymore? He was almost out of it. Now, I want to set this up because this is one of the other things that I don't think he has been able to change this with his campaign. And I also think that there is going to be a change in the dynamic of the Democrat Party a little bit if he were to win, for instance, because I don't think that that actually emboldens it may. I mean, I think that there's the Marxists within the party ultimately are going to prevail because they pretty much have almost this point. But it's not going to kick all of this more establishment Democrats out. Let me just get into this. So when I was looking at the enthusiasm and the exit data, and I had this at DanaLash.com, Biden was going into Super Tuesday. He was limping. He was really struggling. And Biden was, he was beating Biden in Texas, Sanders was, by almost 2%, which is kind of crazy. And I had noted how Biden really needs to get these delegates. And if, you know, Bernie wins, you know, several different states, that he was going to end up winning. And then the problem really came into when they were getting near South Carolina and elsewhere, because Biden could not lose that state. And that's when James Clyburn got involved. And I tweeted at the time, this was on March 3rd, I said, the biggest winner tonight may be James Clyburn. That man's coattails pulled Biden through. I wrote, James Clyburn was Joe Biden's firewall. That was Super Tuesday. This speaks to Clyburn's years of retail politics and making personal associations out of political connections. Biden cannot do enough in this life to pay off that favor. I also think, you know, it spoke to how weak the field was, but this was kind of unbelievable because Biden had not been doing well in that state until he hadn't been doing well, period, on the East Coast and in the South with Democrats until the House Majority Whip James Clyburn came out and endorsed him. He was, and I have it linked, he was running a dead man walking campaign. Everybody was saying that, from Van Jones to a number of people. Biden was done. And that one man, even Carville agreed, said the guy saved the Democrat Party. Joe Biden was losing the primary pretty significantly until James Clyburn saved him. Now, when James Clyburn retires, which I don't know if he ever will, I don't think that there is anyone in the party. And I was thinking about this last night, and I was looking through the list of, you know, just some of the people who can raise money, because Clyburn can raise money. A lot of your influence in the party is how much money you can raise. I don't think there's anybody in the party after Clyburn who would be able to do something like that. Really, to a one-man firewall.
That's true.
Now, I'm curious as to how much that has changed from then, March 4th, March 3rd, really, until now, November 3rd. Democrats were so enthusiastic about Biden. They didn't even want him in the primary. There's a lot of ways to look at it. Do they think that at least do those voting for him, are they looking at it like, well, at least he's not Trump? Or do they really support higher taxes and they just have a totally different way of approaching governance? We don't know, because the polling data sucks. Polls are horrible. And we don't have a lot of them for a lot of the battleground states either, which is bizarre to me. Clyburn was talking about Georgia, because Georgia, and he said the 2018 governor's race. Oh my gosh, talking about that. What's her face? What's her name? Stacey Abrams. That's right. Audio Sunbite 19. Listen.
I do believe that Joe Biden can finish the work in Georgia. I don't know if anybody who believes that Stacey Abrams did not win Georgia. It was stolen from her. Just like they stole these seats on the Supreme Court.
It was stolen. So if you don't vote for a Democrat, then it's stolen. She didn't have the votes. Yeah. If someone loses legitimately, it was stolen. No, just because. No. Not everything that you don't get means you were robbed. Sometimes it means people don't want you. Plain and simple. They don't want you. Good night. Woof. So I they're trying to make Stacey Abrams something. I feel like that may be one of his, because they will not let that woman go. I think if Biden loses, I think Clyburn's trying to make her something. And Clyburn pulling her, I'm just like looking at stuff and watching how all of the pieces land on the chessboard here. So they're in Florida, Trump and Biden. I was laughing at this piece. It's from the Washington Examiner, and they're talking about the villages. Because Florida right now, everybody's looking, what is it, that I-4 corridor? Yeah. Between Daytona and Tampa, right? Mm-hmm. So because in some instances, that is kind of a predictor for where the race is going to go. And then people were talking about the villages, which I am fascinated by, this whole area. I am fascinated by. It's like, it's home to over 100,000 mostly white seniors and 50 golf courses. They have 50 golf courses there. Yeah. So it's called the Village Clash. This has been going on for quite a while. Remember some of the video we've played where people in golf carts were arguing with each other? So Joe Biden is and Trump are fighting for the villages. And apparently, I mean, at least going back into summer, Trump had been leading, but now it's really close. And they said that there was a pro-Trump golf cart parade last weekend that drew 1,250 golf carts. What? Is that many in the world? I almost don't even care about the politics anymore. I just want to know how in the hell you're fitting that many golf carts. How big is this area?
Apparently it's large.
I am amazed by this area. Why is there not a Netflix reality show? Everyone in their world in the world would watch this. Right? It would be like the Golden Girls plus Tiger King. That's what it would be like. But it would be the Villages, right? And you could have like your, you know, your serious roster, your regulars that like hold the show together, and then all the other people on the periphery. You're missing like some gold material here. Who is not making this right now to stream it? Hulu, where are you at? Oh my gosh. I'd watch it because it'd be hysterical. When you, I mean, because these are people who do not GAF. They don't. And it will come through in programming. Just saying. There were polls showing that Trump's losing support among senior citizens. And that's, and I'm not, there's a number of things that, you know, could be coronavirus, could be the Medicare, could be a number of things. But Florida is a swing state. Sumter County is where the Villages is. The Villages is a majority of the county. So I guess that's okay. So it's a big enough. Yeah. But a lot of people are looking at the Villages as being sort of the indicator as to where the senior vote is going to go nationally. Because the Villages are incredibly, I mean, it is pretty diverse with Republicans and Democrats. I just can't believe all the golf carts. I'm looking at this one golf cart. There's a Trump golf cart and a Biden golf cart. And there are a picture of these people arguing. And I'm like, can you stop arguing for a minute and look at y'all's golf carts? It is amazing to me. Amazing. I mean, they are decked out. Someone was telling me that there's a chop shop for golf carts in the Villages. I'm literally looking at a Cadillac golf cart right now. Really? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody was telling me, a friend of mine, she's like, oh my gosh, my grandparents moved there. And yes, there's literally like a chop shop for golf carts. And I just put a picture of a golf cart for you in Slack. You look at that golf cart, Kane. You tell me that that is not, you can't go into like the golf cart store and buy that.
No, you can't. But that's quite a custom job, though.
What is that? It's like an old timey.
Like an old Ford T.
I don't know. I need to ask my friend David Burge. Like what is this closest to? It's amazing to me. I mean, these like, now I feel like I want a golf cart. Isn't that like when you've made it in life? When you get old, you retire, and then you go and you chop shop up a golf cart and you ride around your village and you yell at people. I mean, that's like a goal, I think.
It takes a village.
It does. Villages. There's an ad right there. Yeah, there you go. So, the Hunter Biden laptop, now it's out that apparently since we've been on air, first, these documents went missing. Now, they have been recovered. They UPS says that it found the lost package.
All of them?
Well, I don't know about all of them. UPS said that it found, it was in like one package apparently. So I don't know what, you know, what that, I don't know. But they said that they found the package that Tucker Carlson said never made its way to him. They said that they didn't have any kind of word as to when it would be delivered. But it had to do with some kind of documents about the Biden family, and a producer in New York was sending them to Carlson, who's in California, to interview Tony Bobulinski. So that's all. I'm sure that he'll probably talk about it on his show tonight, but they did find them, and apparently now it is on its way. I guess it's being sent to him. Interesting. So coming up, we're going to talk with Bernard Carrick. He has the Hunter Biden laptop. He's got a copy of the hard drive. And he's seen everything that's on it. And he's going to tell us what he's seen and what this means. And like I said, I really think that the president needs to stay on the economic message. But his surrogates shouldn't.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, so a new study from Harvard looks at air travel. And the conclusion, flying can be safer than grocery shopping. according to this Harvard study. Now, there are a lot of deals from airlines for travel this season, and now this study released used computer models to review airflow and airliner cabins, and it says the specialized onboard ventilation systems filter out about 99% of airborne viruses. Now, it was funded by the airlines and manufacturers of airplanes and airports. The researchers insist this did not impact their findings. I don't know. I've heard it before, though, from people that surveys that are not funded by airlines, too, because they redid the ventilation, etc. And apparently you don't hear about air travel. You don't hear about airline crew getting sick really at all, do you? And they're especially like those who are cabin crew. You don't really hear them getting, and they're in there all the time. And one woman has even told me about the ventilation systems that they were doing on American Airlines. So just, you know. Anyway, just kind of interesting. I mentioned this, but I didn't actually get to get into it. Former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev says that it was the TV show Dallas. He blames that show for the fall of the USSR because it opened people's eyes to Western lifestyles. Yeah, the 80s soap opera. I didn't realize, how did people... Dave Stewart is the co-founder of the Eurythmics, and he said that this is what Mikhail Gorbachev told him. That was more effect, Dallas, that show, had more effect in ending the Cold War than anything else. I don't know about that. I think it's still Ronald Reagan and Thatcher, like dunking you do, but I'm just, you know, just saying. Let's see. Ransomware attacks are hitting hospitals that are battling the coronavirus. This is interesting. That's one headline that came out. Also, GOP leads in Michigan and the number of ballots returned. And Jeff Bezos is apparently looking at adding CNN to his properties, his things he owns. He might buy CNN. Up next, Bernard Carrick. He's seen Hunter Biden's laptop hard drive. He'll discuss it. Stick with us.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
And is that also your answer, Mr. Zuckerberg, that you have no information at all to indicate that Russia was the source of this New York Post article?
Senator, I would rely on the FBI to make that assessment.
But you don't have any such information, do you?
I do not myself.
I'm just trying to clarify the answer to Senator Johnson's question.
Yeah, that gets into one of the stories that we had mentioned. Was Zuckerberg tipped off about this? Because they said that one of the reasons they began implementing this, I guess, like fact check and all of these other regulations that seem to lead to the suppression of conservative or right-leaning approached stories was because they were told that there was going to be some Russian information, misinformation drop before the election. To me, it just sounds like he messed up and admitted that this was all organized. That's how I look at it. I'm a cynic, and I'm highly suspicious of any and all authority. So there we go. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Joining me now, former NYPD commissioner, our good friend Bernard Carrick, also best-selling author. And he has been working with former NYC Mayor Rudy Giuliani on this, what's been called as the laptop from hell now. And he's seen it. Well, he's making his way through it. He joins us now via Skype. Good to see you, Bernie. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Now, I want to make sure I understand it correctly. You have been investigating this along with Rudy Giuliani. And I know that when last you were talking with us, you said you had gotten about like 3/4 of the way through this hard drive and the material that's on it. Some of it's been circulating on the internet now, and some of it's really bad. Tell me what, and I realize probably also for, you know, certain reasons you can't divulge everything, but what can you tell us about the nature of the material on the hard drive and the impact on national security should the outcome of November 3rd election result in Joe Biden?
Okay, so there's three elements to the hard drive. The first, which was extremely important to me and the mayor, so much so that we drove down to Delaware to meet with the county police right outside of Wilmington and turn over the hard drive and a bunch of photos and emails to the authorities, and that related to child endangerment. And things that we saw on the computer that mandated reporting. Even under state law of Delaware, there's a mandatory reporting requirement where things of this nature have to be reported. When we came across it, we went down to Delaware and we submitted it to the Delaware authorities, the county authorities. They gave it to the Attorney General of the state of Delaware, And we understand that the state attorney general then turned it over to the FBI, which the FBI already had it. So I don't know what the purpose of that was. That being said, there's two more elements that I see, one of which is the SEC violations. Jack Maxey from Steve Bannon's office, a big financial guy, has gone through the SEC violations. And I can tell you that there would be a an indictment, maybe, 20, 30 count indictment or more of SEC violations should the SEC get involved. And then there's the whole FBI, the fraud, what I would consider, and the mayor agrees, and he's done these kinds of investigations in the U.S. Attorney's Office, a RICO case. And that case would involve principals, Jim Biden, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and co-conspirators. So those are the three elements. There were about 28,000 images, photos. A number of them were, very personal and sexual photos of Hunter Biden and a number of people. There's a bunch of other images on there that some we felt very negative about, involving young people. And then there's probably 80 to 100,000 documents. Those documents are emails, text messages, and other documents. And at this point, we have pretty much given most of the people that have requested it from the press and the media. Unfortunately, CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, NBC, ABC, CBS, they have not asked for anything. They don't want to see anything.
Not even a
I guess it doesn't
curiosity.
Make a difference because Facebook and Twitter wouldn't put it out anyway.
Yeah.
But we have given it out let the investigation take its course.
So you mentioned, you referenced, and we're speaking with Bernard Carrick, you referenced the number of images that were on this hard drive. And so the speculation on the internet is that it is basically considered child pornography. Is that something that you can confirm or is that correct, the speculation online?
I really can't get into it, but it was enough. It was enough for the mayor and I to physically right. drive down to Delaware and meet with the authorities there and turn over the hard drive and a number of photos and emails that relate to a child that we felt necessary. The authorities had to look at. My concern, Dana, and this is, I'm surprised that the media, at least the mainstream, anybody.
Right.
Have they interviewed the child yet? Have they? It's been over a week, I guess. Have they interviewed the child? Have they interviewed Hunter? Have they interviewed the child's mother? If you walked into a precinct in New York City or New York State, somewhere, New Jersey, where I live, and you gave them the evidence that I gave Delaware, I promise you, within 24 hours, child services would be at the house. They'd be talking to the kid. They'd be talking to the parents and anybody else involved. I'm concerned that the child has not been talked to, and somebody passed this on to somebody else who passed it on to somebody else. I think that's a bit bizarre.
Yeah.
We're not getting any feedback, so we don't
right.
know.
The other question that I have that is, it's separate from what is on the hard drive, but it's how it relates to who had possession of the hard drive and why did they sit on it for so long. I remember, when we watched a press conference from D&I Ratcliffe and Christopher Wray just, I think, what, a week ago, it struck me because Christopher Wray apparently has been aware, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but he's been aware of this laptop. Apparently the FBI had it in their possession for some time. Why was there no movement on it, particularly if there were actionable items that were on this hard drive? And I know that, there's political speculation and there's not a lot of trust in Wray, but that seems really a dereliction of duty.
Well, there's two things. And I think one of the things that the mainstream media didn't pick up on, there was a hard drive in Albuquerque, New Mexico that went to the FBI there, a hard drive, a copy of the laptop that was in Delaware. The FBI got that hard drive. And the FBI picked up the actual MacBook Pro at the vendors on December 9th. They had a subpoena, a grand jury subpoena. They gave it to the vendor. They received a copy of the receipt of the contract where Hunter Biden dropped it off. They gave the vendor a copy of the subpoena. They gave him a receipt for the laptop itself, for the MacBook Pro, and they took it. So there's two copies of this computer, one the computer itself, one the drive, that the FBI has had sometime before December 9th and on December 9th of last year. What they've done with it, nobody knows. And, you know, my assumption is that they really haven't done anything, because I'm sure the first basic part of an investigation like this, you would subpoena, you would start sending out grand jury subpoenas and start questioning people before a grand jury. And to our knowledge, none of that has happened. So I don't know what they've done.
And as to what you were discussing about the nature of some of the images, especially those involving minors, that dovetails into the name of on one of the subpoenas was that of an FBI special agent who apparently has a history with child abuse cases. And at least that's what that's predominantly his record. And that name sparked a lot of discussion online, because even though it was somewhat redacted, people could still see what this whose signature it was. We played the soundbite of Mark Zuckerberg when we were coming in, because he said something very interesting that has not been discussed. You know, we are also discussing the dereliction of duty by media to the American voter and citizenry. He said that they had been warned by the FBI about potential disinformation right before the election. That sounds like this was organized to me, because now it all seems to be coming together and making sense. Somebody in the FBI had this. They knew of this material. They sat on it. Is it feasible that they warned Facebook about this, and now this is how social media got in to censor the story?
Well, look, you know, if you can go back over the last 3 or 4 years since the Russian collusion thing started and the Steele dossier, you know, the FBI has been talking about Russians, you know, trying to interfere with our election over the last 3 years, 4 years. You'd have to be a moron not to know that. So I'm confident that Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey, I'm sure, I'm positive, they have a pretty good idea that Russians and the Chinese and the Iranians, they're constantly trying to get into our business. I personally don't think that's what this was. You know, I'm very suspicious. I heard you mention a minute ago that you're not trusting of the government these days. Well, neither am I, especially what's happened over the last 3 or 4 years. And the targeting of the president and other Americans by the Justice Department, the intelligence agencies, and the FBI. So I don't know what Zuckerberg's talking about, but here's what I do know. I'm 1,000% positive the information on that hard drive is accurate. I'm positive it was Hunter Biden's, and I'm positive under any other circumstance, an American person will be sitting in handcuffs in a jail cell right now if it was you and you were engaged in that kind of criminal conduct.
Yeah, and apparently everything, the materials at least that were given to the Senate, has been authenticated. That was released yesterday. They said that they authenticated all those materials. So why hasn't there, I mean, who would be responsible for making that call, for making the call that would, you know, this is actionable material that is on this hard drive? I mean, and even getting into some of the financials, when you look at the business deals that here Joe Biden, even when he was vice president, this is when Hunter Biden was getting hired by these companies. And then even after, with the full expectation that he was going to be running for a higher office once again, selling and peddling influence. Who gives that call, Bernie? Who's the one who says, okay, let's go, at least on these charges, let's go and detain him based on just this information right now that we've authenticated?
In a case like this, because of the people involved and the former vice president, you would have to get the authorization from the Justice Department, the chief of the criminal division, maybe a deputy attorney general, deputy assistant attorney general. You would have to get that authorization to move forward. Why they did not, if they did, that's still all speculation. But I can tell you this, if I was the president and I knew what I knew today, I'd be looking for answers from the attorney general. And I have a lot of confidence in the attorney general himself. I have no confidence in Christopher Wray. I think he should have been removed many, many months ago. But I have confidence in the attorney general. And the only thing I can think of is, given the Comey situation and the Hillary in the Hillary case, maybe the attorney general didn't want to make a move because he didn't want to look or make it look like he was interfering with the election in some way. But I have to tell you, the evidence in this case is overwhelming. It's far more than overwhelming. So why they didn't act, I can't say. I don't know.
We're talking to Bernard Carrick, who has been going through that now infamous hard drive from Hunter Biden's laptop. Last question for you, Bernie, and we appreciate your time today. A lot of people are questioning the timing. I mean, obviously, you know, at any time, this information should have been made available. Is it because it was being withheld? Is it because it was being suppressed? And what do you make of comments from, I know Senator Ted Cruz was talking about it, saying it wasn't going to move the needle much. Others were worried that it would detract from the president's messaging on the jobs numbers that we were talking about that earlier in the show. The historic GDP numbers that came out today. Is that a concern that you have? And also, what do you make of those comments about the timing and whether or not it moves the needle?
I think the American people have to know that the guy that wants to be the president of the United States is completely corrupt. He's compromised. He could be in jeopardy involving other countries, especially China, Kazakhstan, a number of countries. There's a bunch of stuff in there. Will it move the needle? It doesn't make any difference to me. What makes a difference to me is Joe Biden still has a security clearance. That makes a difference to me. Joe Biden's security clearance should have been pulled. The second they saw what's in this hard drive and looked at the business he was involved in with his son, his security clearance, anybody else, this is what I'm going by. Anybody else, any other service member, anybody in government, anybody in politics, their clearance would have been pulled immediately. That's and he's good. Still he's running for president. And I think it's insane.
That's hugely significant. Bernie Carrick, always appreciate you, my friend. Folks, you can go follow him at Bernard Carrick
on
Twitter. We appreciate it. And we're going to watch and see what happens with all of this. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. We have more to come. And that's a great point, too. Security clearances. Anybody else would have had theirs pulled. And here you're running for the highest office in the land. Oh, man. It's only the tip of the iceberg. You know that. We have a lot more on the way. We're going to finish out today's broadcast with Today in Stupidity as we finish out this week, this final week here before the election.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
Make sure you sign up for that newsletter. You're going to want that info tonight. So for Today in Stupidity, isn't this what big tech companies have been saying about conservatives using their platform? Listen.
Mr. Dorsey, does Twitter have the ability to influence elections?
No.
You don't believe Twitter has any ability to influence elections?
No, we are.
Wait, he doesn't. But Kane, that's what they've been saying as to why they need to suppress conservatives.
So why they keep like blocking accounts and suppressing information if they are not an influence on the election?
Wait a minute. Do you mean it's not affecting elections when they do it? Only when we do it?
Can only guess.
Look at that. So tomorrow we're going to get into a number of stories that I've seen that they're warning about failing grades. Now that report cards are coming in, kids are struggling in schools. Duh. You didn't think that was going to happen? We'll explore that and get ready for the weekend before the election. Be back with you tomorrow.